Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. We're so glad you're here. We've got quite a few folks who are traveling, who are gone, members, but we've got several guests here. And guests, we are honored to have you. Christy Oldham, I thought about inviting you up if you had an announcement just for old time's sake for people. I don't know what it would be about, but you're welcome to make an announcement if you would like. So we're glad to have the Oldhams here. We're glad to have all the other guests that are here. So parents, you probably noticed this is another one of those Sundays, last Sunday and this Sunday, where we don't have Children's Church and Praise Zone. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is we've got a lot of people traveling, including a lot of the folks who would help pull that off. And another is it is good to take a break from time to time. And those of you who do that on a regular basis, you know that sometimes that rotation comes along pretty frequently. And so it's a good reminder that that is a good thing. And hopefully the last thing is it's a reminder of, oh yeah, this is good for me to volunteer and be a part of the rotation because it's helpful for us to have this on a regular basis. So sometimes a few weeks where you miss something you normally count on is a great way to remember the blessing of this thing that you have. And if you haven't gotten involved, whether it's a volunteer in Children's Church or Praise Zone, or whether it's as a teacher, we need you. We want you. We would love for you to help out. Our children's ministry is vital to this church, and you're an important part of pulling that out. Even if you don't have kids, even if your kids have long grown out of that ministry, we could use you. We would love to have you. Now, here's what I would like to do. Let me grab that mic from you for a moment. I did it last week. I don't know how many of our kids are here this week, but if you are normally one of the kids who would slip out for Children's Church or Praise Zone, I would love to invite you up to the stage for just a minute, just to chat, ask you a couple questions, and we'll watch a little video. So kids, come on up. And parents, the goodie bags that Jennifer prepared last week, there are still a few in the foyer, and I saw some of you got some already. But if you didn't and you want to grab one after the kids head back, you're welcome to do that. Oh man, that's a good-looking crew right here. We've got some good spots right over on this side, guys. Y'all want to come over here? We've got Mr. Josh on the stage. That's wonderful. You know, I'll even take your pretty cool guy most of the time comment. I'm okay with the most of the time. That's about as good as I can pull off is most of the time. Okay, did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I was going to see if anyone would tell me something from this last week during Christmas that you were thankful for. Is there something you were thankful for? Either of you guys want to share? I'll come back to you. You can think about it for just a minute. What were you thankful for from this week?
Looking at Christmas lights.
Looking at Christmas lights. Oh, that sounds nice. What were you thankful for?
I love God and I love singing songs to God.
Wow. I love God and I love singing songs to God. That is wonderful. I thought someone might share about a Christmas gift that they got, and that's even better. Christmas lights and singing songs to God. What about you?
Friends and family.
Friends and family, that's really good. No? That's a please do not shove the microphone in my face gesture. Anyone want to tell me something else they were thankful for from this last week? Someone who hadn't shared yet?
I'm thankful to bring my Christmas rocket.
Okay, say that one more time. What was that?
From Santa.
Oh my goodness, you got a PJ Masks rocket from Santa?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Anyone who hasn't shared that wants to share?
Presents.
Presents. Is there something in particular you're thinking about?
Toys.
Oh, well, those are the best presents. Toys. Okay, let's do one more.
I got a dollhouse for Christmas.
You got a dollhouse.
That
sounds so fun. With horses? That is wonderful.
I have one more. I have from Nini when I opened presents, I have an LOL dollhouse that is really big.
Oh, you got a dollhouse too. That is so fun. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to do. Let's watch a video right here, and it is all about presents, but it's kind of different. So let's watch the video, and I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think the message of the video is? You want to watch?
I'm watching that.
Okay, you can watch that one. That's good too.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Christine, you're here too.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works. It's coming. It goes on and off whenever we want. We've got clean water.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh.
I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. What? A briefcase? You gonna have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
Dee, the what?
Jack, be careful.
Oh. I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
All right, what were some of the gifts you noticed? What did you see up there?
I want to get an astronaut for Christmas.
Oh, you want an astronaut for Christmas? Very good, very good. Okay, what did you notice?
The car and everything, and they were wrapped up.
Everything was wrapped up. Anything else that you noticed? What did you notice?
The people was wrapped up.
The people were wrapped up too. Wasn't that interesting? And the kids. That's kind of silly. What do you think the message of that video was? Maybe the message of that video was everything around us is something special, is a gift. That we can be thankful not just for the gifts we get on Christmas, which is really fun, right? But all the gifts we had, just like one of you said, with your family and your friends, and little things like clean water and electricity and coffee. That's one of my favorite gifts, and I open that all throughout the day, over and over.
Oh,
your dad's mom likes coffee too. We would really get along.
New keys.
He sure did. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming up here and helping us with this lesson. You want to head back to your parents? Let's give them a hand for coming up. Good job, buddy. Were you? We could definitely tag team on this thing if you want. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. There is a story in Luke 17 that I referenced briefly a couple of weeks ago, and I want to come back and I will spend a little more time with it this morning. We're just going to start in verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, I want to stop right there for a moment and point out the geographical reference we get at the beginning clues us in to something important. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but borders can be places of tension. It's true. You may not know that. You may not be aware of that. But borders can be places of tension. And the border between Samaria and Galilee was definitely one of those places. Because the Jews and the Samaritans, you may remember, they did not think too fondly of one another. And they had not thought too fondly of one another for centuries. Both thought of themselves as superior to the other, more true to Torah. They were the ones that had the true temple. Jews often went out of their way when they were traveling from the north heading south or vice versa to go around Samaria because they did not want to walk through that place that they thought of as contaminating. But Jesus is a lover of people on both sides of the border, the Jews and the Samaritans. And in this case, he encounters 10 men with leprosy, or whatever the skin disease was, because that was kind of an umbrella term they used in that time. And these 10 men found themselves really as citizens of no land in particular. If you haven't read it in a while, the Torah has some long lists, long descriptions of how you deal with people suffering from different ailments, including some pretty grisly chapters about infectious skin diseases that you can read up on at some point. Or if you get bored during this sermon, look at Leviticus 13 and 14. And included in how you deal with someone with infectious skin diseases, you may remember, is there is a quarantine that takes place. As if the ailment wasn't suffering enough, you get separated and separated, quarantined from the rest of the people. And while the Samaritans and Jews disagreed on a lot, they both followed the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah. So they're playing by the same playbook when it comes to how you deal with people with an infectious disease. Which means that whatever nationality or ethnicity these men with leprosy were before they caught the disease, after they caught it, they are, in essence, welcomed in no land. In many ways, they are citizens of neither country anymore. They find themselves in a no man's land. And yet here Jesus comes, walking between the border of Samaria and Galilee. And Jesus continually proves he not only loves people from different places, he also walks in these in-between places, these outside places, these places where people find themselves without a place of belonging, where sometimes the best ministry and the best love happens. And so these men cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And I don't know if they have healing in mind. Maybe they've heard about Jesus. Maybe his reputation precedes him. Or maybe they're just looking for a handout, because that's what their life would have devolved to. Relying on the pity of others. When he saw them, verse 14. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Those are the ones who declared that they were clean. And as they went, they were cleansed before they ever got to the priest. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Luke isn't just giving us information about the man's nationality. He's needling the Jewish readers just a little bit. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, has no one returned to praise God except this man? What does he say? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner? You want to light a fire under someone and challenge their prejudice all at the same time. You point out the good of their rival. And it happens a couple of times in Luke. Luke 10, who's the hero of the story? It's a Samaritan, and he's the good one. Not the people that we expect. And here in Luke 17, we've got the grateful Samaritan. The good Samaritan and the grateful Samaritan. Then Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And I've pointed this out before, but I'm always curious. If this man's faith made him well, what about the other 9? Because they were made well too. Maybe it was their faith. I tend to think it happens to have been Jesus' faith and his faithfulness, but that's really for another sermon. I want to circle back to this issue of gratitude or a lack of gratitude. Why don't the 9 return? And I've studied this and I've read about this, and different people have different ideas. And one person that I read said something like this: the other 9 didn't return because they were gripped with ingratitude. Which is nice alliteration, and it's simple to say they were gripped with ingratitude. And that may be the case, although I personally find that hard to believe. I'm pretty convinced, in fact, that whenever they thought about it, and they probably thought about it quite a bit, they were overwhelmed with gratitude. They were extremely grateful, endlessly grateful. How could they not be? They had lost almost everything, not just their health, but their relationships, their livelihood, their connection to the people and the society. They had lost almost everything, and now there was a chance that that would be restored and returned. My guess is not that they were ungrateful, not at least in the way they felt. It's just they got busy. They learned, they were healed, they were overwhelmed with excitement, and the moment they realized they could go back to their life as normal, they went back to their life as normal. They saw family and friends that they had been missing. They gave hugs and kisses that they had been missing. They ate all the good meals that they had been missing. They slept in their own bed that they had been missing. They became preoccupied. And so they didn't return to give thanks. At least that's what I can relate to. And I'm guessing maybe that's what you can relate to also. Because there are times, there is no question, where we experience difficult things, when we go through hard things. And during those times, it is challenging. It is difficult to be grateful, to offer up praise. And I know for some of you, it doesn't take much looking as you look back through the past year to find those hard times that you experience. And for many of you, we've walked together in the midst of those. We've We've tried to walk with you in those times of loss or times of sickness for you or someone that you love, or relationship struggles, or the end of a relationship, or becoming a caretaker for someone in your life, or financial struggles, or on and on the list can go. And during those times, gratitude often falls under the category of yet will I praise Him, that we see show up a lot in the Psalms and in the prophets, like Psalm 42:5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. But my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." There's almost an inner dialogue that happens in a lot of the Psalms. The Psalms are rarely just a straight line of praise. It's more of the roller coaster. It is the highs and it is the lows. It is the full breadth of the human experience. Why am I downcast? Why am I full of doubt? Why am I full of despair? Yet will I praise you, but if I'm being honest, I'm still down. I'm still struggling. I've still got the doubt. I've still got the despair. And one of the powerful things about the Psalms is it's not an invitation to only put on a brave face before God. It is an invitation to be honest, to be confessional. This is where I am. This is me in the good times. This is me in the difficult times. This is me in all of the different times that I go through. I'm going to be honest with you about the despair, about the doubt, about the struggle. And as I am honest, I will continue to seek you in the valleys and on the high places. Everywhere that I am, I will remember you. I will remember your goodness. I will remember your grace. I will remember your story. Much like Josh was reminding us, the table of the Lord is this invitation, this welcoming place, both in our places of questions, in our places of confidence. But when you go back to the nine, by the time we get to the end of the story, their fortunes have changed. They've turned a corner. They may not be all the way back yet, but they're headed in the right direction. And yet, they neglect to show gratitude. And that can sometimes be our greatest struggle, my greatest struggle. We fail to be grateful, not just when things are hard, but when things are hurried, when we get busy, when we become distracted, when we get preoccupied, we forget to do something about our gratitude. And I think that's the real point of the story. In the end, Jesus is interested in more than just an attitude of gratitude, although that's a part of it. But Jesus wants actions of gratitude to go with it. But that brings me to another part of the story that I've started to wonder about and think about, especially over the last week as I was looking at this, and that is, why does it make such a big impression on Jesus that one comes back and nine don't? Why does this make such an impression on Jesus? Why does he make such a big deal about it? Because you may remember during the last year we studied in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's Jesus that tells us when you do something important, when you do something charitable, when you do something for someone else, don't do it so that you'll get the praise. Don't do it so that you'll get the thanks. Don't do it so that you'll get the recognition. In fact, he says, this is the way you ought to give. This is the way you ought to share. This is the way you ought to serve. Do it in a way where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. So why does Jesus make such a big deal about the fact that one comes back and nine don't? Well, as I see it, there's a couple of options. And one option might be that Jesus preaches a better game than he practices. He's like, hey, y'all don't need to be worried about the thanks, but I'm really worried about the thanks. I mean, healing the 10, setting them back on a restored path, that's nice and all, but it doesn't really amount to much. If I don't get a thank you or a shout out on social media or something where people recognize what I've done, that is one option. But the second possibility, and the one I'm convinced explains his reaction and his disappointment, is this. Jesus isn't hurt that the nine don't come back to give thanks. They are. Jesus doesn't need the nine to give thanks. They do. And we do. Desperately. It's not that Jesus needs our thanks. It's that we need desperately to be a thankful people. Things happen when we lose gratitude. Neglecting gratitude hurts our relationship with Jesus, not because Jesus pulls back in resentment or anger, but we start to pull back. We stop thinking we truly need him. Gratitude fuels faith. Neglecting gratitude starts to dull faith. It's hard to love God when you forget God's goodness. And neglecting gratitude starts to sour relationships because we start to take people for granted and we grow in our expectations, but we lower in our appreciation and recognition. And neglecting gratitude robs us of joy and peace and perspective. We don't appreciate what we stop taking notice of. And neglecting gratitude for the good things that have already happened means that we often start to miss more of the good things that are happening. Like the video that we watched at the beginning, real gratitude is seeing all the amazing gifts that God makes available every day of our life, not just a few days during the year. But every day is filled with the grace and the glory of God. So today, as we are near the end of 1 year, and we stand at the threshold at the beginning of another year, it is a good time to look back and look around and take inventory, even in small ways, and notice the goodness of God, the grace of God that infuses our lives in all the little details, not just the big moments, but in all the little moments of our life. And here's what I want us to do as we close this morning. I want to invite you to do one of a couple of things, and we'll have just a moment of silence. I want to invite you to, during this moment of silence, one, you can say a silent prayer of thanks, or I would invite you right now to pull out your phone and open up your address book and send a text of thanks to someone in your life. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to have a lot to it. Just a simple, I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. Or open up your phone and hop on your favorite social media of choice and just put a little post out there that says, I am thankful that during this past year, and then you finish that sentence. The point is not the little exercise. The point is to get more regular in acting on our gratitude, to look around and notice, to move toward a proper attitude, but take it a step further and let that gratitude show up on your lips, show up in your communication, show up in your actions, so that we are a grateful people, not just in our hearts, but in what we do as well. So let me give you just a moment, and you can choose one of those. If getting on your phone in a service just blows your mind, I don't think I can do that, I'm not sure God allows that, then offer up a silent prayer. Or hop on your phone, send a text. You don't have to blow up my phone, but I've got it on silent. If you just want to shoot a lot of texts of thanks to me, it'll be okay. We'll shut down the system or send something out on social media. In just a minute, then Dusty will come up and close us in song.